Much of the country celebrates Arbor Day, but one day is simply not enough for either Oregon or California. Both states observe Arbor Week, but about a month apart. California's Arbor Week came and went in March, but this week is Arbor Week in Oregon. So let's talk about trees and their uses and some of their companions. Three guests join us in the studio. Michael Oxendine is the Southern Oregon University Landscape Services Manager. Hi, Michael. Good to see you back.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Jamie Hickner is here as well. She also works at Southern Oregon University and will be talking to us about the Bee Campus program coming up. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks.
And we also have Emily Turner with us, who's from Plant Oregon Nursery. Emily, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Thank you.
So let's talk about activities on campus. And in fact, I guess since the most new angle here is the Bee Campus thing, why don't we bring Jamie up to the microphone? You can tell us about the Bee Campus program.
Well, we're really pleased because the university is going to be designated as the nation's and the world's first Bee Campus USA. And that designation is a recognition that the university is committed to following some really common sense practices and policies that benefit pollinators. And those include doing things like planting more pollinator-friendly plants, trying to reduce the use of harmful synthetic pesticides, and really increasing awareness about how important pollinators are to us. They do contribute 1 out of 3 bites of food come to us from pollinators, and it's important to recognize that our own food security relies upon them.
1 out of 3 bites of food involve a pollinator, right?
That's right.
So is the Bee Campus program like the Bee City program that we've heard emerging recently?
There are a lot of parallels, yeah. They're kind of similar in the way that they celebrate what we're doing and remind us that we need to do more. And they're both national designations as well. Bee City USA comes to us out of North Carolina. The Bee City USA organization is a nonprofit based there. Phyllis Stiles is their executive director, and she's the one who's worked with us in getting this designation. And it's really quite an honor to be the first one, the first college in the country to do this, to be recognized this way. We have some amazing practices on our campus that promote sustainability, and this is really a recognition of those practices. And it's also a way of us, as a university, committing ourselves to doing more.
How did SOU end up the first?
Ashland and Talent have both been designated as Bee City USA designees. And so the Bee City USA designation came around a couple years ago. And first in Talent, Dolly Warden had this wonderful idea. Why shouldn't Talent become one of our Bee City USA designees? And so she worked with a group of us there who ultimately we formed an organization called Pollinator Project Rogue Valley. And we've been organizing in the community to get people more involved in thinking about these issues, thinking about how the things we do affect the pollinators around us. And we're talking bees and ladybugs and birds. And if you were in Madagascar, it'd be a lemur because lemurs do pollination in Madagascar. So there are about 200,000 invertebrate and 2,000 to 3,000 vertebrate species around the world that do pollination. So we're not just talking bees. But in the United States, it really is the honeybee and the wild bees that do the largest amount of our pollination.
All right. So Michael Oxendine, what kinds of challenges does this create for you folks at Southern Oregon University to have to incorporate the Bee Campus USA stuff into what you do for landscape services?
Yeah, challenges. I don't think that it presents many challenges. I think that we're ready to go. We have a lot to bring to increase the pollinator awareness, and we're already doing a lot of great things on campus. Our students have initiated bee clubs on campus. We have bee boxes down at the Center for Sustainability. We have bee boxes at the Ecos Gardens. We've already started implementing pollinator-friendly plants on campus, drought-tolerant pollinator plants. And we're putting up some signs for those pollinator gardens around campus to help educate the students to what we're doing.
And Emily Turner, I want to come to you because we haven't heard from you yet. Let's talk a bit about Plant Oregon, what it is, and your involvement with Arbor Day, Arbor Week efforts in Oregon.
Sure, yes. Plant Oregon started back in the 70s, and we have several acres of tree nursery around Talent in Phoenix, and we also have over 10 restoration projects, riparian restoration projects around the valley along the Rogue and Applegate Valleys and some of their tributaries. Our philosophy is to get as many trees out there and planted as possible, hence the name Plant Oregon. And, one of the things that we appreciate about SOU in particular is that they instill such a strong sense of stewardship in their students. And so, we are really excited to be part of this Arbor Day and supply a lot of the trees that will be planted.
How many trees do you supply over the course of a week of events like this?
What is it, Mike? Is it $20,000 or something?
$20,000 last year in plants, and that was like 32 really large specimen trees. This year we've done 38 trees, and they're sitting ready to plant on Wednesday.
Okay. Why Wednesday? Just is Wednesday like the peak of Arbor Week?
Wednesday is the day that the most students are on campus out and about. It's in the middle of the week, so we get to we get all the students that are passing through for classes, and we can also get the K through 12 schools involved to come over and plant.
We're talking about Arbor Week and Arbor Week activities with a particular focus on the Southern Oregon University campus. Michael Oxendine is the Landscape Services Manager for campus. Jamie Hickner is the B Campus Coordinator, and Emily Turner is with Plant Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's get those tree questions and comments going here. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. If you're looking for pictures of our studio guests, we have one available on our Facebook page. Emily, I want to come to you and ask about how busy you guys get this time of year. It seems like this is probably the time of year for a place like Plant
Oregon. It is, yes. The reason I'm here instead of Dan or Dave is because this is our busiest time of year. We're constantly planting with the riparian projects as well as residential landscaping projects. People will come in and get trees of all sizes, you know, from small 1 gallons to 30, 40 feet plus. So our crew is constantly going, planting, installing irrigation, maintaining our fields. I believe it was over, gosh, I can't remember the number that Dave sent me this morning of how many acres we have, but it's a lot going on. A lot of trees being planted in Oregon right now.
And you're up Wagner Creek Road in Talent?
We are, yes. Okay. Yeah. And soon after the old schoolhouse building on the left.
I wonder about seasons, and I know and the weather certainly is making a great case for asking this question right now on the fact that we have a winter storm warning in Siskiyou and Shasta counties. But whether this is actually the right time of year to be planting trees, given that that it can still get frosty.
You know, yes and no. We prefer fall, actually, because if you plant in fall, then all through winter you're getting the supplemental water to help the roots establish and become strong before spring. Spring is our second favorite planting time, and with the frosts, you know, it's hard to say.
Hard to say if this is the right time.
Yeah.
All right, Michael Oxendine, when's the busiest time of year for you guys if you're planting trees on the SOU campus?
Busiest time's right now for Arbor Day. This is our big event. We plant trees whenever we need to. So trees can establish well in the spring. They can establish well in the summer. It's harder to move trees in the spring and summer when they're leafed out. They tend to defoliate. But we can spray anti-desiccant on the leaves to actually keep the moisture in for transplanting. I know Plant Oregon does that a lot, and there's also root-drenched fertilizers that you can use that help them recover from that transplant shock.
Transplant from where to where?
Either from Plant Oregon, which is where a lot of our large specimen trees come from, or Valley View Nursery, or any of the other nurseries that we can get plants from.
Is there an inventory? I mean, do you guys keep track of how many trees you have on the Southern Oregon University campus and all the species and locations and all that stuff?
We started a plant inventory a couple years ago. August Schillings, he's a local arborist in Ashland, owns the Village Arborist. He started a plant inventory for us, and we bought 3,000 tags and quickly ran out. So the budget dried up for that. So we have the first part of the tree inventory done, and we'd like to continue that at some point. And get that completely finished.
Any estimate on how many more tags you'd need beyond the 3,000 you already put out there?
Yeah, I think we have over 10,000 trees on campus.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an impressive number, from little guys up to the big, sturdy old trees.
Yeah, we were only measuring trees that were 12 inches at breast height and diameter. So that's a pretty good sized tree.
That is. Only 12 and up.
Yep.
And 3,000 tags for those. And you think you got maybe another 7,000 to go.
I bet we got another 7,000 to go.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. This is not, you know, the hillsides can be a little different, I guess, from the valley floor. And the fact is that Southern Oregon University is on a hillside. But this is a pretty semi-arid climate. And so, I mean, you have to struggle sometimes to make sure that the trees survive where you put them?
Last year proved to be challenging with the drought. And I think that's going to be kind of the new norm here. That's the fear anyways. And so, establishing trees in a drought can be very difficult. Keeping trees alive in a drought is obviously very difficult. We have kind of our own little eco-climate right here. And the more trees that we can put in to provide that overstory eco-climate for ourselves, we can develop our own small microclimates here on campus, and that's what we've been trying to do. So.
Develop a microclimate? You mean just create the vegetation necessary to make a cooler pocket or something?
Yeah, you start your own microclimate by getting a larger, denser forest canopy. So the urban forest, cooling down the buildings, cooling down the landscape, you can create a microclimate.
We have a phone call here from Ryan and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about trees on this Arbor Week, trees and bees for that matter, with Michael Oxendine, Jamie Hickner, and Emily Turner.
Hello. Good morning. What a great crew. This is the perfect Monday conversation. The thing that intrigues me is the intentional use of plants to accomplish civic good, whether that's bees, pollinators, shade, energy use, and particularly the connection between what you're doing at SOU and the K-12 classroom or community work or outreach program, because I think there's really powerful synergies as you're bringing young people to campus to talk about microclimates and how they might, be a role in energy, and talk about pollinators, having SOU students be the guides and leaders, because there's a powerful synergy of those young people who need role models and excitement about the application of science in their future. So, one, I commend you. And second, how do you see there being, opportunities for SOU to be part of this broader education community?
All right. Thanks for that, Ryan. Appreciate it. Either Michael or Jamie want to take that on?
Sure. Yeah. I think one of the models that the B Campus USA designation is that we're hoping this will spread like wildfire. That's a bad metaphor in this state, but that's what the idea is. We hope the ideas will spread. And really, they're wonderful universities in Oregon, and we hope that every university in Oregon, every college, every community college, and then K-12s start looking at their footprint and around their campus and asking themselves, what more could we be doing to support pollinators? And it's an exciting thing. I was talking to Mike this morning about how, one of the things that's great about this is not just we get a plaque. Plaques are beautiful. They remind us to be good. But it's also that we do these activities. This Wednesday, Paul Stamets is going to be here on campus. He's a world-class mycologist, and he's going to be talking to a packed audience about, what mushrooms do for us in our world. But it's also hands-on activities. In the afternoon, students will be spread out all over campus with their hands in the dirt, planting new plants, pollinator-friendly plants, and being part of putting new trees on our campus. And it excites us when we do that. We remember in different ways when we're actually physically touching the earth. We remember to behave better as human beings. And we've, as human beings, we've created the circumstances where there's been habitat loss. But we can also change those circumstances. We can also create habitats that will support pollinators and provide forage for them. We can plant nectar plants. We can remember to plant milkweed to support our monarch butterflies. There's so many things we can do, and it makes it's exciting to be part of this. So I do hope these ideas will spread to other universities and other K-12 institutions as well. Thank you.
I'm curious, Michael Oxendine, about how much over the years the stuff you're planting on the SOU campus might have changed as you get greater knowledge about things like, things that people might have seen as weeds like milkweed, and then realize, oh wait, if you put those out, you get monarch butterflies, stuff like that.
It's interesting you said that. We were talking this morning about perception. And how perception needs to change globally and especially nationally here. Talking about college brochures, every time you pick up a four-year college brochure, the first thing you see is a beautiful quad, nice lush green grass, and students out enjoying the atmosphere that a college provides. So when they come look at colleges, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for this big, beautiful expanse of grass that makes them feel like they're now part of the college experience. If we can change perception and show that, maybe lawns aren't the best for the environment, maybe that's not what we want to be advertising out there. But if you can't change the perception, then, as a business strategy, that'd be a pretty poor strategy. So helping to change that perception by showing people that you can have beautiful landscapes without the lawn, and that you can plant these beautiful pollinator plants that are once considered weeds.
What are some of the pollinator plants then?
So there's a huge list of pollinator plants for Oregon, a lot of them native. Milkweed is a big one. Oregon grape is one. All of the geraniums that we can plant on campus. Anything that flowers that is in the shrub beds. There's a lot of trees like Tilia cordata that are huge pollinator plants. So pretty much all plants can be considered pollinator plants to some degree. But there's special ones, just like the milkweed, that really need to be here to attract the certain type of pollinator we're looking for.
Are there any that are particularly pollinator unfriendly that you're now avoiding to try to maintain the bee campus designation?
Well, one of the things that we become aware of is how dangerous neonicotinoids are, and that's a synthetic pesticide that's a systemic pesticide. And so we have to be really careful when we're buying plants. We go to our nurseries. It's important to ask that question, has this plant or have these seeds been pre-treated with neonicotinoids? And they're dangerous to bees and to other pollinators as well, and they're contributing to colony collapse disorder, which threatens bees, and it threatens our food security as well. There are a lot of plants. Mike mentioned several, and even things like oregano and lavender that we love to have around us because they're wonderful herbs for us. I love to look out the window and see the bees humming on my lavender and on my oregano, and so those little flowers that the bees really love. They're great to plant.
There is a sense of having to share them. I noticed that because there are lots of things I like to sniff around this time of year. And I got to be careful I don't snort a bee up my nose.
That's true.
Because there are lots of them out there. That is for sure.
Yeah.
We are talking about Arbor Week in Oregon, which is this week, and particular observances at the Southern Oregon University campus with Jamie Hickner, who is the Bee Campus Coordinator. Michael Oxendine is the Landscape Services Manager. Emily Turner is here as well from Plant Oregon Nursery, which provides a lot of the plants for this and has a lot of knowledge about trees herself. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange in the minutes we have left here to talk about Arbor Week. 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Emily, is there one tree that people seek more than any other when they come to the nursery to say, I want this tree, and this is the number one on your list?
There's a lot of trees like that. It depends on the application for which they plan to use the tree. A popular shade tree, one of the best reasons in my mind around here to plant trees is that they provide a lot of shade, whether for your house or for your parking lot of your business. And they create a much more comfortable microclimate, as we touched on. So a lot of the shade trees that are requested, there's Persian Parodia, Zelkova trees are really popular. There's a large list. Early blossomers, red buds have been selling a lot recently. They're blooming right now at the nursery. A lot of different maples. We have lots of different maples down there, every kind you could imagine.
It seems like there are many, many kinds of maples.
There are many, many kinds of maples. We have a lot of them. Those are very popular right now.
Do people come seeking oak trees? There are so many different varieties of those as well.
Yes, we have several varieties of oaks. We have the natives as well as non-native ornamentals, beautiful oaks. One of my favorites is Quercus fellus, a willow oak. We have lots of amazing specimens down there worth checking out.
Michael Oxendine, for people like me who our sole knowledge of tree planting is make hole, put tree in hole, put dirt back in. It's really a caveman kind of level existence for me. Help us out. I mean, what are some of the basic things we need to know about what to choose, what to do to set it up, and what to do to give it a good launch in its first year or several?
So it sounds like you need to come out to Arbor Day and do the planting demonstration at one. Plant Oregon's going to, Dave and Dan Bish, the owners at Plant Oregon, are going to come out and help us do a planting demonstration and talk about all that stuff. But basically, you want to amend your soil with some sort of a compost if it's necessary. Some of the Rogue Valley soils are incredibly fertile, and you don't need to amend them. But if you're in the Medford area with the heavy, dark clay, it helps to put in a little amended soil, helps to do a little organic, light nitrogen fertilizer. And, you put the tree in the hole, and you backfill it with somewhat native soil and somewhat compost. And if the tree doesn't have a very big root ball on it, you're probably going to want to stake it for a little while, at least until it establishes some feeder roots there to hold it in place. And then you want to do the regular watering and care that it needs and make sure that you keep an eye on it. Don't let it dry out.
How critical is watering to the early life of a tree?
I'd say it's probably the number one thing. You got to keep them wet, especially in our climate. And with the drought, I would heavily recommend putting in a drip system. So it's just automatic, and it does it for you.
What's the difference in how much water is used by a drip system versus anything else where you're just watering a sprinkler, is that kind of thing?
Well, conventional spray heads can use, up to 30, 40 gallons a minute on a zone, whereas a drip system is probably going to use 4 or 5 gallons a minute for a zone.
Wow. So we're talking like, you know, 10%.
Huge difference.
Yeah, that is a huge difference. Yeah. Before we go, Jamie Hickner, I want to ask you about some of the attributes of B Campus, the things that had to be in place before SOU got named to B Campus, and then what it'll have to keep doing over the years to maintain that listing.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we set up a committee, and the committee is basically existing to kind of look at what we're doing already and think about what more we might want to do or be able to do. And it also reports each year to B City USA in Asheville, North Carolina. We are supposed to host outreach events that help celebrate pollinators and also kind of excite people, get them involved in thinking about what more they could do to be involved. We're also supposed to track the way our students are involved in student service learning projects. So we already have a lot of students who've done sustainability projects that do benefit pollinators, but this is a chance to kind of look at that in a more formal way. We're going to try and offer more courses on pollinator ecology. SOU has offered a course, a great pollinator ecology course in the past, and we hope to be able to offer that course again. Carol Ferguson has taught that course out of biology, and we'd love to be able to offer it again. But in the meantime, we're going to offer at least some workshops that help people understand pollinator ecology better. Some signage is required as well. So signage at least to say that we are a B Campus USA and to celebrate that visually, but also signage that educates people, like maybe a sign in a cafeteria saying, "Remember the bees, they brought you this food."
All right. Boyd in Wolf Creek emails, he suggests manzanita, an early blooming pollinator for migrating hummingbirds and emergent insects. And Emily, yep, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, very good. Very good.
So for people looking for the event on campus, that's Wednesday at 1 o'clock, did you say, Michael?
Starts at 9.
Starts at 9 with Paul Stamets.
Okay, 9 o'clock in the morning then on the SOU campus, and then the actual tree planting demonstration at 1 in the afternoon?
1 o'clock in the afternoon. Come for the 12 o'clock accreditation of Tree Campus USA, B Campus USA, and Tree of the Year for City of Ashland. And everything is free. It'll be free parking, and the community is more than welcome.
Okay, Jamie Hickner, Michael Oxendine, Emily Turner, thank you so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.